Good morning, Poplar Springs. It's good to hear you chattering and fellowshipping with one another. We're glad that you're here. If you're joining us online, we're glad that you're tuning in with us this morning. I have just a few announcements for you. The first is if you are on church council, we will meet this evening in the small dining room. Andy, is that right? Small dining room? Church council? Oh, yes. Okay. Church council in the small dining room at 4 o'clock. If you can make it for that. Wednesday night Bible study, if you're coming to adult Bible study on Wednesday night, it will meet in the small dining room as well so that we can use a microphone and sound will be better for that. If you're a youth, you will have Bible study with Nicole, middle schoolers at 5:30, high schoolers at 6:30 in the youth room. So we hope you'll come and be a part of that as well. I would like to recognize Keith Dixon, who has a word to say about the Baptist Retirement Home.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning and to take this opportunity to say a word about Baptist Retirement Homes. Andy has been hard at work putting out these little daily devotion guides and also offering envelopes for our week of prayer for Baptist Retirement Homes and for older adults. And I'd just like to say that we appreciate so much the support of this church, other churches across North Carolina who have helped us so very much. Last year, we were able to give out $3.6 million in benevolent care for people who cannot afford the care that they need and deserve. And if you have a chance, go on our website. It's BRH for BaptistRetirementHomes.org. And under Church Resources, there's a video there of some of our residents and their experiences that they have had with us and some of the needs certainly that are there. One of them is a 98 and a half year old lady, and she and her husband came to Brookridge and put a deposit down on an apartment before it was ever opened, and they have been residents of ours for over 30 years. The only problem is this year her funding run out, her money run out, believe it or not, because they thought they had plenty. She has outlived her money. A lot of places would say, by Tuesday, you're gone if that happened on Friday. You've got to go find somewhere else. And a lot of the Medicaid and those type of advantage things are not very good. But because she's a resident of the Baptist Retirement Home, she will be taken care of for the rest of her life. And those kinds of things happen with the money that you give. And just many, many people in our health care at our four communities that we have across the state, they are ones who come in and all they have is Medicaid, Medicare. They do not have any resources, really. Many of them don't even have family. And the monies that you have given to us, it goes straight to our foundation, 100% of it, nothing is taken out of it. It goes to provide those kinds of resources to care for people in that way. And so it's a wonderful place. They are just great people. It is so much fun to hear the stories of these people in their life. It really is. And one of the reasons they can enjoy it so much is because, like our thing says here, they know they're in a safe place, they're in a secure place. We've been battling COVID like everybody else, but thank goodness we have not had it to the magnitude of so many other places that are around. We believe that's because of the prayers of Baptist churches across the state. And also our staff that's done just a tremendous job and continues to do that. We've had minimal cases among our about 600 residents and also staff. And we just appreciate them so much. And, the people that we're caring for are absolute first priority. And so it's fun to just be a part of that. So I hope you'll pick up one of these. You'll read about some residents that are in there. You'll read about our chaplains. You'll read about some of the other folks that are in there as we ask you to pray for them every day. This is not a business. It's a ministry. It really is, and we enjoy it. And thank you so much for your prayerful support. And if you've ever got any questions, just give me a holler, and I'll find somebody to answer them. How about that? And we'll do that. Thank you so much. Thank you.
tried to make it on my own. Every time I tried to stand and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, I had nowhere to be found. I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For this man who needs amazing kind of grace, for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay, perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus.
There was Jesus.
In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
In the fire, in the flood,
there was Jesus.
Always is and always was. No one ever walked alone. You were always there. In the way, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. There was Jesus.
I may be a little biased, but I think those two could sing for us every week, and that would be just fine. As we come to be the community at prayer, we do want to remember Donna Cherry, Kay Harris's sister, who's dealing with COVID. We also want to remember Tammy Wright with her upcoming surgery. We also want to continue to remember a few members of our community, Ed Beam. Many of you probably received that text earlier, that phone call earlier this week, about the passing of his mother. And we also want to remember Dr. Tracy Jessup. Many of you know Tracy from Gardner-Webb. He serves as the minister to the entire university. And Tracy lost his brother at, I believe, 58 years old due to complications of COVID and pneumonia. So it's one of those things when you're a minister, who ministers to the minister when they're grieving? So please remember Tracy and his family as they continue to deal with the loss of his brother. So let us go to God in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for a moment in our week to come into your house and to lift our request to you. God, we're so thankful that we have this holy place to gather God, we're thankful that we have maybe even a holy place on our couch or at a table, and that we have technology where we can still join in this service. God, we're thankful for a moment to take a deep breath. A deep breath in you. God, we pray for all of those in our community who are still dealing with COVID. God, we pray for those with upcoming surgeries, for those that have dealt with loss. And God, today as we reflect on that word love, with today being Valentine's Day, God, we are so thankful that you are love. Not just a feeling, not just an emotion, but God, you are love. And we are so grateful for the love that you poured out on us through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we do pray. Amen.
Let me first say, as I gather here today, that I'm a dangerous man today. I feel good. I feel good, so that means we may see some glimpses of old Andy here today, so be careful. I need to get started before the medication wears off, though, so let's go ahead and get started. Our scripture today comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21, a passage of scripture that's very challenging, in fact, so challenging that I call it unreasonable love. Verses 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. If he's doing this, you will heap burning. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not become overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Sounds pretty unreasonable, doesn't it? Well, let's pray about it. Father, I pray that our love will be not only unreasonable, but extravagant as we share the love of Jesus Christ with those around us. Convict us today about how we can be a more loving people, and challenge us, Father, in our love for others. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. When we were in seminary, I made a purchase for Kim when we couldn't afford it, for no other apparent reason other than I loved her. I did it because I loved her. And this is where you can say, aw. I feel special. It was a spontaneous purchase which would surprise her, impress her, and express my love for her. As I made a resolution that day to make spontaneous purchases for her throughout our marriage, I was going to do that. This is something I was going to do every day if I could possibly, just do something extravagant for her. Do the unexpected, do the unaffordable, whether we could afford them or not. Now here's where you can insert Timothy B. Schmidt and the Eagles singing, Love Will Keep Us Alive. Love will keep us alive. Because it will. Because I was going to be extravagant. I was going to love her and do these great things for her. I was going to get downright unreasonable in expressing my love for my wife. We were newlyweds at the time, and being unreasonable was reasonable then. That's what it was all about. Boy, did that change. Boy, did that change. The kids came along. Did you know kids are expensive? Did you know they cost money? They have to have clothes. They have to have clothes. You have to feed them. There's something else. Then they went to school and there are fees to pay. You got to pay these fees. You got to pay for finance field trips. And our jobs changed. We had different jobs. They changed at times, and sometimes funds got kind of tight. And in this whole process, I got reasonable. I got some good sense. And the biggest thing I would say most of the time was, we can't afford that. That was one of the big things I said. We can't afford that. That became obvious on our 25th anniversary about 15 years ago. Something happened. Kim wanted to go to an island or on a cruise. I wanted to go as well. I wanted to do that. But 25 years had made me a sensible person and made her a desperate person. Made her a desperate person. I was so relieved when my spouse came to me one day and she said, Andy, we have three in college. I'm getting my master's at Gardner Webb. We have debts and normal bills as well. We can't go to that island. We can't do it, Andy. I said to my noble, thoughtful spouse something very sacrificial and reasonable. I said, Kim, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I was thinking the exact same thing. I was thinking that myself. It's amazing we think so much alike. We're just alike. We have such a great relationship. Isn't life wonderful? Aren't you glad you're married to me? I'm sure I'm glad you're married to you. A couple of weeks later, I discovered that I had given the incorrect response. I said the wrong thing. I didn't say what I was supposed to say. She informed me at that time. I realized I wasn't the experienced marital expert I thought I was. I thought I had all the answers in marriage. I was not the compassionate, understanding husband. I discovered my response was supposed to be, darling, we're broke, but I love you. Let me put a little feeling in that. I love you. So much that I'm ready to go to bankruptcy for that trip. I'm ready to get bankrupt. We're going to go on that trip. No matter what you say, we're going. We're going on that trip. I was supposed to be unreasonable for my wife. I was supposed to do that. An expression of love for my wife. We did not go on that remote island to the remote island in the Caribbean. If I had my way, we would have gone to Bora Bora in the Pacific. That's what I wanted to do. But instead, I took her to a crowded steakhouse. Ain't this nice? And listen, it's our anniversary. You get a loaded baked potato. You go big. Now, in no way I'm saying or telling you to break the bank and go to an island, but I'm saying sometimes love seems to be unreasonable. Love can get unreasonable. It seems unreasonable. And this is what Paul is expressing in our scripture today. Some unreasonable love. It's unreasonable. And another bit of scripture that is impossible to cover in one sermon, I want to talk about that today. We can't cover all this. There's so much here. Paul is talking about a love that sometimes can seem very unreasonable. We talked about the passage last week as we began this discussion on love. It says, love must be sincere. Sincere must be real. Must mean something. Doesn't mean just, I love you and that's it. It has to mean something. Now we come to some manifestations of this love, some ways we make this love known. Verse 14 is just downright unreasonable. It doesn't make sense, especially for somebody like me. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Paul says, bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Human nature, not Satan, if left to its own means, is this. You persecute me, I'm persecuting you. I'm getting you back. You curse me, I curse you. That comes natural. We don't have to have a whole lot of help there. We don't have to have a lot of help. Sincere love means we don't go the way of human nature. We buck the system a little bit. We go the way of Jesus. Jesus didn't take that approach. Do as I say, not as I do. He didn't do that. He showed us his unreasonable concept of love in action. He showed it to us. We saw it. He was not a victim on the cross. He was not a victim. He voluntarily went to Calvary, the place of the skull, to die for us. And in the process, he was cursed and did what he, our Savior, an ultimate example, did. He prayed that God would forgive these two, these who were torturing, beating, mocking, and eventually killed him. He prayed for them and asked God to forgive them. You're probably like me in this situation. You pray for an exemption. God, don't make me have to do something like that. Don't make me have to do something like that. I don't want to say bless you to the raging person in that other car. To that raging person in the other car on the highway. I see a lot of that now that I'm a crazy driver. I go to the speed limit now, folks. And folks don't like that. I don't want to say to the raging person in the car, bless you. Bless you. You read his lips. He didn't say bless you. That's not what he's saying. And he's pointing at you, but he's using the wrong finger. And you've just been cursed. You've just been cursed. Okay, preacher, Sunday school teacher, church leader, Christian, what are you going to do? Roll down your window and holler out, back at you, moron. Back at you. That's natural. That's reasonable. You're called to sincerely love that person. These fellow creations of God. We've already labeled this person Satan with the driver's license. You've already given them that label. And if you're like me, you don't feel like opening the window and saying it's 70 miles an hour. I love you. I love you. It's unreasonable to love that person. The one who provokes us or angers us or even goes as far as to curse us. That person can make you a hostage. Can make you a hostage, taking your attitudes captive, making your feelings toward others, including the innocent, unpleasant to say the least. That person can take you hostage, make you a slave. How can we meet the challenge of unreasonable love in this situation? What can we do? One solution would be to pray for the ones who persecute us. Pray for them. Not that you take your hands off the wheel and go, but what you do is you pray for them. It worked for the Christian martyr Stephen in Acts 7, verses 59 through 60. Stephen was murdered for his belief that Jesus was Lord. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's good. That's good. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, Paul was one of the persecutors there that day. Paul was one of those persecutors that day. The scripture says they laid their coats and their cloaks there at his feet while they killed Stephen. Paul knew the power and blessing of a prayer, a simple prayer. Church, we're called to do something unreasonable. We're called to do something unreasonable. Pray for those who persecute us. Pray for those who persecute us. And put a face on it today. Pray for those who persecute us. Verse 15, rejoice for those who rejoice and mourn for those who mourn. Rejoice for those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. The second part of this verse is not that unreasonable. The second part is not that unreasonable. Even the worst of us can weep with the weepers. Even the most terrible person out there can weep with the person who's hurting, can hurt with those in pain, can sympathize with one during a time of loss. We can sometimes bury the hatchet during a time of weeping. We can do that. Christians and non-Christians alike are both capable of common human decency. Common human decency to weep with those who are hurting. But the noble act of congratulating a person and going as far as to be happy for them in their success, being happy for another in their success, that's costly. And it's unreasonable at times. Sincere Christian can love. Christian love can weep with those who weep and can even rejoice with those who rejoice. We take football seriously. I take football seriously. We're appreciative in victory. I love a good victory. And we can be gracious in defeat, even if it's the University of South Carolina. We can do that. We can do that. The other night, I finally settled on what to watch on TV. TV's gone difficult at our house. I don't know how to work the TV, but we're figuring it out. And the good thing about it is Kim doesn't know how to work it, so I can watch what I want to watch. The other night, I finally settled on what to watch. A trivia game show called The Weakest Link. Have you watched it? I watched it. And I could answer a lot of those questions. It's not like Jeopardy. Well, there's pressure, but Jeopardy's a little more pressure. It's a competition where contestants are insulted by the host for their lack of intelligence. The host is very, very insulting and says terrible things to them, you know, and the people just smile at it. Just call me an idiot, and I'm tickled to death about it. And the majority of the contestants are voted off by their peers. The peers say, you're the weakest link, and they vote them off. On the show, there were winners and losers, rejoicers and weepers. There were both of those there that night. And most of them chose to feel for the losers. The one who was voted off, folks would say, I'm sorry for that person. I feel for that person. But then the end came. On this particular episode, there was very little rejoicing in the good fortune of the winner. Because all these other folks had been voted off, they weren't happy for the winner. They were not happy. Sincere love sheds genuine tears at the misfortune of others and can even rejoice at the good fortune of other people even if it costs us something. Can even rejoice. That's unreasonable. But it's putting self to the side for the sake of other people. Sincere love does that. Verse 6. This is where it gets difficult. Live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. We'll come back to this verse at another time in the future. We need to, because it's a very important passage of Scripture. Church, live in harmony, get along. I know not everyone is as easy to get along with as I am and as you are. But seek to get along with the difficult, the opinionated troublemakers in the church. They're out there. It's not me, it's not you, but some of them are out there. Learn to get along with them. The world is watching us as we do that. The world's watching. Do not be proud. Do not be proud. We all have a lot to be proud of. But don't bring your resume to church. It's okay to carry a full wallet of pictures. That's okay. But don't bring your resume to church. Don't be conceited. You're not indispensable, though you're very valuable. Don't be conceited, but you're very valuable. If I ever think about getting conceited in my line of work, I think of Balaam's mule in the scriptures. Balaam's mule. If you're familiar with the story, God enabled a donkey to talk to Balaam. Enabled a donkey to talk to Balaam. And sometimes he empowers a mule like me to talk. Sometimes he gives me the power to do that. That keeps you humble. Be willing to associate with people who are low on the pecking order. Be able to socialize with those folks. Don't patronize them by when you receive an award thanking all the little insignificant people. But appreciate them. Realize we are people created in the image of Almighty God. Be decent to other people, even those who cannot benefit your climb up the corporate ladder. Those who can't give you extravagant gifts. Those who can't offer much in the eyes of humanity. But those who may be Jesus among us. An old-time preacher used to say in verses 17 through 21, Paul quits preaching and goes on to meddling. He goes from preaching to meddling here. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. The sermon in the sentence here is, two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs don't make a right. That's the sermon there. Part of the passage that's interesting, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. William Barclay translates this in a more understandable way. We're to make our conduct fair for all to see. Make our conduct fair for all people to see. How do we represent the faith of the vast numbers of people out there? How do people see our faith? What do they see in our faith? Is it harsh? Is it difficult? Hard to get along with? Barclay continues, Paul was aware that the Christian faith must not only look good, must not only be good, but look good. The Christian faith has to look good. Does it look good? Christianity can be presented in the hardest, most unlovely way. But real Christianity is something which is fair for all people to see. It's fair for all people to see. Some could see Paul as saying this, cave into the pressure. Make it easy. Don't make waves. I believe he's saying this. Hopefully you might be seen living the Christian life. Hopefully you may be seen living the Christian life as the way it should be. There's a fine line here that we need to recognize. We don't just do our acts of service for show. That's not why we do it. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look what I'm doing. We don't do it for show. What I used to say is that sometimes we have to practice be seen ministries. We have to be seen doing what is right. I saw my father take a Sunday dinner to a ragged, hungry man one Sunday morning. Sunday dinner to him. Sitting outside an old store near our house. It changed my life when I saw my dad do that. My mother one day saw a man working in her neighbor's yard. He was tired. He was hot. He was sweaty. She took me aside and gave me a cup of cold water and said, Andy, take that to the man. I saw a fair faith. A fair faith. A good faith in service. I used to say, I hope my kids can catch me doing something right one day. Hope they can catch me doing something right. Hope they can catch me doing the Christian thing. They catch us doing plenty of other things, don't they? Have you been caught by your kids lately? We talked about that last week. Have you been caught? I'll never forget the time when I was looking for the mayonnaise in the refrigerator. And I called it everything but Duke's. I was talking about that mayonnaise. Where's the mayonnaise? I closed the door and there's my son looking at me. He caught me doing wrong. I wish my kids could catch me doing right. Catch me doing something good and Christ-like. Hopefully people can catch us doing that. Verse 18 comes with conditions. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Really? Live at peace with everyone? Father, these folks aren't as easy to get along with as I am. How can we do that? That's what we may be thinking. Live at peace with everyone. But there are times when courtesy meets convictions. Courtesy meets convictions. We have to speak up because to keep the peace would be a transgression. It would be a sin to keep the peace. In church, there are differences of opinion. There are disagreements. They happen in the church. Even heated conflicts. Because we have convictions and beliefs. Sometimes we're called to confront in love. Remember that, confront in love. And no matter how you put it, the peace is disturbed. But make sure you don't. Make sure you do your part to keep the peace. To keep the peace. But ultimately, we have to do something quite unusual, very unreasonable. Live at peace with one another. And the ball's in your court. The ball's in our court. Paul also says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all. As far as it depends on you. We're only human. We're only human beings. Our tolerance and goodness and patience come in limited supplies. Some are more patient than others. Some are more understanding. Some are more compassionate. Some are even more thoughtful. Some are more tactful. It's in the church. We're different people. We're a wide variety of people. And you and I have our limits. We have our limits. Some are more patient than other people. And as unreasonable as it sounds, live in peace. Live in peace and make the peace. This passage is a tall order. I know it is. I've tried to live it. It's a tall order. Sincere love. It's a whole lot more than giving somebody a box of chocolates and saying, I love you. Or like I'm going to do today, I'm going to Ingles to buy a dollar candy. I hope I get up there in time. That's why we're going to make this quick, Brett. So you can get to the race and I can get to Ingles. Yeah. It's a whole lot more than buying chocolates. It's a commitment to doing what many may see as unreasonable. Absurd, crazy. Yet God showed us how it was done and how it's achievable. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, to die for us. The Savior of the world who died for us to take the punishment for our sin that I deserve. But before His death and resurrection from the dead, He set the tone. He showed the example. He's our model. He's who we look to. Our model of unreasonable love. Don't you want to follow Him today? Is that something you're thinking about? Don't you want to become a Christian today and follow Him? Jesus may be calling you. He may be talking to you. He may be speaking to you today. Let me encourage you to do the unreasonable. Do the unreasonable. Let's pray together. God, help us to get extravagant, absurd, crazy in our love for others. Because, Father, this is Valentine's Day. We were thinking about that today, but I pray, Father, we'll do it every day. Others will see the love of Jesus in us and wonder how they do that or how we do that. It's because of Your love for us in Jesus Christ. Change our lives today, Father. Make us a different people. Make us a people who express the love of Christ in the world around us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
The
Church family, we want to thank you for being with us this morning, whether you're here in person or if you're online. I want to remind you that your Deacon of the Week is Russell Hamrick. So if you have any concerns this week and you can't reach anybody on staff, you can reach Russell. He'll be happy to help you. It is Valentine's Day, but as we've spoken about this morning, Valentine's Day is not just a day for you to tell your significant other, your spouse, or your boyfriend or your girlfriend that you love them. Get your phone out today. Go through your contact list. If you've not talked to somebody in a while, give them a text. Let them know you're thinking about them, that you love them. If you don't text, call them. If you don't want to call, email them. Find a way to let people know that you love them today. And Andy, book that plane to Bora Bora for Kim today. Okay. Would you join me as we pray? God, we thank you for the chance to worship you this morning. And God, to be reminded that we are all called to be your agents of love in this world. God, sometimes even to those whom we deem unlovable, those who we wish we didn't have to love. God, give us the courage and the strength to reach out to those who we may have turned an eye to, those who may have angered us or caused us to harden our hearts to them. God, may we show the world what it means to not only love you, but to love others. God, thank you for your immeasurable love for us, God, that we do not deserve, but that we are eternally grateful for. Take us into this week, God. We love you. It's in Christ and we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday.